over these last six games, but has there been one consistent factor during this winning streak that you would contribute that's led to the success and the rhythm you guys have gotten?
Well, just to share what, so over the course of this year, one of the things that we've talked about and referred to it as an invisible foundation, where the feeling was, you know, over time, if we're consistent with our work and our habits, that hopefully at some point, you know, some of those things, you know, begin to surface even more. When I say that, you know, we've made a few adjustments that I think fit this team. You know, we've tried to be more aggressive because we have a few guys that I think can do that. Obviously, Nikhil and Dyson have done it all year. But our focus on the possession game, you guys know, you've asked me, like, I don't know, 20 to 30 times about defensive rebounding. That's been a huge key, taking care of the ball. Us getting, you know, more aggressive on the offensive glass, all those things kind of point to more possessions. And that can mitigate a bad shooting night or the opponent having a good shooting night. And I think what we've seen is a group that, although, you know, I won't go through all the names, but a lot of new faces. But those guys also have had experience that they've been able to provide leadership and know what it's like to be a part of a really functioning, high-level functioning team, you know, whether it's Gabe and his experience, Jock, CJ, obviously Corey, you know, you go through the list with some of those guys that I think are providing, you know, an example of commitment to little things. It's not like those things that, you know, that's why I refer to the foundation. I think those habits are there. And as a couple of our younger guys begin to raise their level, and the fact that we've been able to practice, you know, that has a way. Training camp's so short, you know, we haven't had a training camp per se, but we've tried to.
When you talk about foundation and, you know, what it seems as a brand of basketball that you guys have been playing. With the new faces, how have they been able to make what seems to be such a quick adjustment to the point where you have that level of consistency?
Yeah, well, I guess a good example of what I'm talking about, we've led the league in assists the whole year. So there's nothing new about the fact that passing, and we don't need to pass the ball just to pass it. If you go through the analytics, when we move the ball, we're better. And, you know, guys that have come here, you know, have really bought into that. CJ may be one of the best examples. Because you don't want to pass for the sake of passing. You know, you want to try to gain an advantage. And he's a guy that I think has made sacrifices in certain ways with his game, but hasn't lost who he is. And I think that's really important. There's times when he goes and gets a bucket that are really, really important. I don't want him not to do that. But I think it's important for Jalen, you know, and for Nikhil, some of those sacrifices that, you know, CJ has made. What happens is they start to sacrifice too. I think Jalen's last game coupled with, I don't know, it was a couple games before that where he had nine shots. And then, you know, what if all the other night against Philly was a unique situation where he was able to really put his imprint on the game, but he allowed the game to come to him. And so I think that connectivity for all the guys and understanding, people talk about roles all the time, and it's valid. But for our group, just understanding that roles are variable and they may change from night to night, depending on the way a defense is playing you. You know, if you get double teamed, it's going to get less shots, but you can find someone else and get them easy shots. And the role that has to be consistent is everybody's got to defend. And if there's one thing I think that we've been focused on, that's it.
From a defensive perspective, mm-hmm. We talked about this last game, but when you're talking about Dyson Daniels going from Giannis to Tyrese Maxey, now tonight, Cooper
How do you know he's going to Cooper Flag?
Well, because he's a really good defender, and I would assume he's our team's best player, right? Correct me if I'm wrong.
I'm not going to give you the game. But go ahead.
Can you shine a light? What's the conversation? Do you even have to have a conversation with a guy like Dyson? Like, hey, what do you spill into him to bring this out of him? Or is that just like his innate behavior to be able to defend?
He puts such a premium on it and understands his ability to impact the game that way. But just to use the examples that you gave, he's every game, whoever that player is, they're different. You know, you're going to defend Giannis different than, you know, Max. He studies that stuff. And that's a part of the game plan. And it's not just him. You know, I mean, when he's defending Maxie in pick and roll, you know, how aggressive is our big? So there's a connectivity there that I think is really important. And if we do get the ball out of someone's hands, because they don't want to play against Dyson, the other guys in the court would have to be ready to do their job. I think that preparation is there. And the fact that he has and is taking different matchups is a good example of that. This is not one size fits all. And he adjusts how he plays based on who he's guarding.
This is going to be the first time you get a chance to play against him until this season.
Unfortunately, I'm not playing against him.
From what you've seen this season, what stands out about this season?
Well, you know, I still get a chance to catch a couple Duke games now and then. And I'm not sure the current players know who I am or that I went to school there too, because it's been a long time. But he's obviously someone, I have a really good relationship with John, shyer than his, and got a chance to see Cooper, you know, play from the beginning, you know, of his year there. You can see the way that the NBA and the competition has helped him raise his level. I think competition has a way of bringing things out of you. And, you know, it wasn't hard to make some assumptions about what he was going to do in this league. But, you know, the way that Jason's using him too, and what he's handling, I think, you know, you've seen him handle and pass more. You saw that some last year, but you've seen him, you know, evolve as a playmaker. You know, the competitiveness, I think, is, you know, is unique. And that manifests itself in a lot of ways. But, you know, he's a special player, and he's just getting started.
Yes, you kind of spoke on that, Coach, but what I've learned, like, Cooper Flagg can affect the game in so many different ways. What are the challenges of being for a player like him?
Yeah, I think any player that's, you know, got a level of versatility, as you said, you're not going to be able to stop everything they're doing. So I think it does fall into, you have to see it from a collective standpoint, as I've said. You know, is he posting up? Is he in isolation? Is he pick and roll? All those situations are different, and you got to treat him different ways, and you can't ignore him.
You know, you a little bit. I know your focus has been wholeheartedly on Cooper and the Mavs. It was the first time you didn't talk to somebody from the Hawks since the NBA pulled the plug on your big promotion, polarizing promotion next week. Just wondering your reaction on that.
Obviously I'm aware of the situation, but to be honest with you, Zach, my focus, the first part of your question is exactly right. My focus has been on Dallas and more than anything on our team, because it is such a new team. As you know, this is another iteration of the Hawks, and we've got our focus right there.